Project Northwoods, Chapter 1, Villain World News, June 17, 2011, Morning. The movie theater, abuzz with hushed voices, was surprisingly still. Bodies reclined in the rows of seats as conversation hovered around the topics of lunch and whether or not the guest would show. Two chairs, trapped in the overlap of numerous lights, were vacant of their intended hosts. The theater itself was merely rented for the time, deemed the most suitable location for an interview dealing with an actor and his newest movie. The older style allowed for the use of the aisle between the back row and the rear wall, a large space useful for the tangle of wires to go untripped. Occasionally, a grip would double-check his work and make sure the cords were appropriately taped down before returning to the ongoing discussion in the aisles. Everything had been set up in an hour, and that was rapidly approaching 3 hours ago. The hum of voices grew decidedly more resentful to any target of opportunity. A lone woman in a tailor-made charcoal business suit sat in a folding chair, ankles crossed. Green eyes flitted listlessly over nothing as she took a long drag off a cigarette. Her bright red lipstick dazzled against her pale skin. A strand of brown hair fell across her face, her disregard of its presence betraying her mental absence from anything around her. A shadow appeared in her peripheral vision, distracting her from her daydreaming. She looked upward and cocked an eyebrow. The man, the new assistant her employer had provided, sheepishly handed her a stack of note cards. "More questions from the producer, Talia. I mean, Miss Ilyanovich." Talia caught the stray bit of hair across her cheek and swept it behind her ear. She took another pull from her cigarette, drawing the burning ember closer to the filter. Reaching with her free hand, she took the cards and set them on her lap. Her assistant stood, awkwardly, as she swiveled in the chair, shaking her head in annoyance. "These," she sighed as she threw down the cards on a nearby table, "is utter crap." The drawl of her Russian accent, in combination with her disappointment, made the man take a step backward. "What does he honestly expect if he gives me garbage like this to work with?" She looked up at her assistant, examining him. He gave a little jerk as though resenting his appearance as she scrutinized him. The scrawny man wore a short-sleeved flannel shirt and jeans. Poorly dyed blonde hair betrayed his red roots, and patches of stubble dirtied his face. Dull azure eyes peeked out from what amounted to a mishmash of features. After a moment, he started to say something before faltering. He scratched nervously at his hair. Do you want me to call the producer? I think there's time to get it changed." Before she could stop him, he reached for his cell phone, a task made more difficult by his refusal to drop the clipboard he was holding. Talia sighed and placed her hand gently on his wrist, the act of pacification seeming to send a jolt through his body. "What's your name?" "Me?" he asked with a startling amount of shock. "No, your clipboard." She took her hand away and gave him a sideways stare as she took another drag of her smoke. He made eye contact, albeit briefly, before returning his gaze to the floor. Talia rolled her eyes.
"James. James Pomeroy."
Talia offered a smile, mostly as a conciliatory gesture.
"James."
He cut her off.
But my official villain name is Flea."
She stared at him.
"So you can call me that if you want."
She continued to stare. He cleared his throat nervously.
"I jump really far."
"Thrilling." She sighed and spun in her chair, grabbing the cards off the table before standing up. She gestured with them, pointing a corner at James's chest.
"James, I take it you've seen me interview."
He smiled at this, a question he could answer honestly and suck up with at the same time.
"Of course, Miss Ilyanovich. You're..."
He trailed off, an almost dreamy smile on his face.
"There's no words to describe it."
Talia smiled insincerely, a look bordering on openly hostile.
"I believe the popular nomenclature is a bit bitchy."
James pursed his lips before opening his mouth and working it around words unspoken. Clearly, he had anticipated neither her brashness nor her contradiction.
"I wouldn't..." "Of course you wouldn't."
She put the cigarette lovingly in her mouth and inhaled. Making sure to exhale away from James, she plucked the cylinder from her lips and shook her head.
"You don't hang out very much with anyone but other villains, do you?"
James shook his head.
"My second cousin is a hero, but he's no longer invited to Thanksgiving." "The reaction to my personality outside of my fans is tepid, at best."
Without warning, she moved toward a table set with what remained of the pastries and a slurry of black grit someone had once convinced others was coffee. She sighed at the sight. Without looking, she continued, knowing full well that James followed her like a loyal mutt.
"The reason my interviews are so favorable with villains and so poorly received elsewhere is because the producer, for better or worse, knows how to push people's buttons."
She turned to face James and the man jumped in place.
"I'm not sure I follow." "I don't like liars, James."
"These questions," she gestured with the note cards for effect,
are precisely the kind of garbage which allows them to set up their own versions of the truth and think they can get away with some great PR stunt. She sighed. And if it were anyone else, they'd smile and let them get away with it. Talia shrugged. Water? She stuck the cigarette back in her mouth and walked towards another table where half-consumed bottles mingled with the unopened. Talia picked a fresh one and tossed it to James. Her assistant didn't notice as it sailed past him. No offense, but why would anyone want to be interviewed by you then? Twisting the cap off a bottle, she smiled wryly. What can I say? She brought the bottle up to her lips and snagged the almost finished cig with her free hand. I'm famous. James watched her drink for a moment before gesturing to the smoking stick, releasing curling wisps of miasma. Those things will kill you, ma'am. Talia laughed, the sound of which immediately made James feel incredibly sheepish. Why are you laughing? She threw the empty bottle in a nearby trash bin and strode toward him. Don't give me advice. Well, I mean, cancer is always worse. She patted him on the chest. Don't worry. Talia showed him the cigarette, whole and free of embers. It's not even lit. Depositing it in an interior jacket pocket, she brushed past him as his mouth worked silently for a moment. But... All right, people, she yelled, cutting him off. Everyone stopped and gave her their full attention. If this chump doesn't show up in 5, we're striking. I have to get back to the station at some point today. Murmurs of understanding broke out. I don't think that's a very good idea, James interjected. And if you were paid to think, that would mean something. He shuffled backwards before clearing his throat. I'm just... Coffee. I'm gonna find the coffee. He offered a tight smile before disappearing amidst his muttering peers. Talia, free of her escort, walked toward where the interview was supposed to take place. A cardboard setup, propped up behind her guest's seat, showed the Golden Age Arbiter standing atop a pile of rubble as the city of New York stretched behind him. Standing just past his shoulder, the simpering actress hired to play One Shot gaped forward with dull eyes and a jaw just slack enough to reveal her teeth. Further in the background, an actor with a passable resemblance to the former President of the United States stood, apparently lost in thought. At the base of the display, the title of the piece blazed a shiny yellow, The Dawn of the Silver Age. Talia snorted derisively in an excellent imitation of the first time she had seen the poster for the film.
I don't like the title myself,
came a slick-as-oil voice from behind her. She turned to face the owner, Weston Marsh, the aggressively unshaven star of the film. He removed his shades, brown eyes flickering over his two-dimensional cutout. Sticking one of the stems into his mouth, he frowned momentarily.
Wanted something a bit ballsier, you know, like Death to Desecrator, or something like that.
He stuck his hand out and, grinning, gave her a wink. Weston Marsh, Miss Ilyanovich. She looked at his winsome smile, then his hand. With slight hesitation, she took it and shook it once.
Delighted.
His hands free, he opened his blazer pocket and deposited his shades inside.
You were supposed to be here 3.5 hours ago.
She raised her hand to get the attention of the crew.
Sorry. Had breakfast with a friend of mine. Just kinda got carried away.
The smell of alcohol on his breath betrayed that his meal came entirely from a bottle. Talia immediately suspected that the only friend involved with Marsh was a smiling pirate captain. He gestured to his seat and Talia nodded. In a smooth motion, he took a step toward it and plopped down, ending up in a forced, relaxed position.
You sound different in person.
Quickly, Talia closed her eyes to conceal the fact that she was rolling them.
Sorry to disappoint. No disappointment here, T.
He looked approvingly at her, as though she had no choice but to accept his term of endearment.
Could be me anyway. I've had a rough couple of weeks. So I've heard.
Talia gestured to someone out of his eyeshot.
Of course you have. I mean, with my sister and all.
He trailed off. His sister had been in and out of mental institutions for years, and her recent suicide had dominated the entertainment headlines. That is, until a recent string of intoxicated public displays by Mr. Marsh took over. Weston shook his head as a production assistant walked by. He grabbed the PA's arm.
You got any coffee here, sugar?
3 hours ago, Mr. Marsh,
Talia half said, half scolded. He looked at her, then at the PA.
Water. And aspirin.
He smiled and winked, a habit which was quickly getting old to his interviewer.
Thanks.
He released her, and the rapidly blushing assistant ran off. Weston returned his gaze to Talia.
You know, my agent warned me about this.
A makeup artist walked up to Marsh and leaned down, applying dashes of powder to his face.
You don't say.
Talia sighed as she took her seat. With an audible pop, the lights near them turned on, bathing them in a sufficient amount of luminescence.
Well, you aren't exactly the friendliest interviewer.
After a few applications of powder, he shooed away the makeup man.
He told me you'd probably end the interview with a slap.
A sound technician approached and placed a tiny wireless microphone on Talia's lapel.
You should be so lucky. That only happens if it goes well.
The house lights were dimmed silently as the tech turned to Marsh and fitted him with a mic.
As the darkness spread in the theater, side conversations grew dim before dying completely.
Ooh, flirty.
Marsh cooed as the tech walked away. Talia stared, unfazed.
It's a calculated risk, really.
He continued as he pointed approvingly at a production assistant who had politely waved from inside the light's perimeter. Talia turned to look at the object of his interest. Under her gaze, the PA turned a bright shade of crimson before slinking into the darkness.
And what kind of risk are we talking about here?
She asked, turning back toward him. The director of photography approached and took light meter readings near their faces. Marsh flashed a wide smile when it was his turn, apparently anticipating that the whiteness of his teeth would upset the reading.
Well, the film hasn't tested so well with villain audiences.
Talia didn't seem surprised.
You don't say.
Marsh smiled.
No, really?
He waited until the director of photography had walked away and engaged one of the grip crew in conversation.
Who would have thought a bunch of degens would have hated Arbiter?
Talia cocked an eyebrow. The reaction seemed to mildly upset Marsh.
Sorry. Some people are a bad influence. Sorry.
Your charm has gotten you far, hasn't it? Talia asked coolly.
The PA from earlier returned with the water and set it beside his chair. She handed Weston a pill bottle and vanished from the circle of light. He shrugged.
It's worked until now.
He unscrewed the cap of the bottle of painkillers and downed a considerable portion of the contents.
Just between you and me, I do love your show, he said with a mouthful of pills. It's the best. I love watching people squirm on here.
He opened the water bottle and took a long pull from it. Talia didn't offer any reaction to this statement.
And you just decided that it would be your turn today?
Marsh bobbed his head and blinked dreamily.
You could say that.
Talia, we're ready at this end, one of the three cameramen announced. Talia nodded.
Are you ready?
Marsh smiled ingratiatingly.
Of course.
He turned to the assembled crew.
Make sure to get my good side.
Appreciative laughter gently rolled forward. He turned back toward Talia.
Just kidding. They're all good sides. He winked at her.
Talia smiled wide and, through gritted teeth, uttered,
You're a real piece of work, aren't you?
He made a face which he, no doubt, thought was alluring.
You want to find out?
Camera speeding? Shouted the director of photography.
Don't you want to do a sound check?
Marsh asked.
Oh, we're good.
Talia reassured him before looking over her note cards. Marsh shrugged. The director verbally counted down to four and silently gestured the remaining numbers. Instinctively, Talia looked up from the cards and smiled. Unlike the others she offered before, this one had a distinct charm to it. Good evening, this is Talia Gregor Ilyanovich from Villain World News, the premier news network for villainous voices and issues. Her accent was gone, replaced with a spot-on, non-regional American dialect. Marsh looked taken aback, but quickly regained his composure as Talia continued. Tonight, I am interviewing Weston Marsh, the lead actor in the upcoming historical epic, The Dawn of the Silver Age. She turned to Weston and smiled with a clear sense of affection which, up to now, had been absent in their conversation. Thank you for joining us, Mr. Marsh.
Pleasure to be here.
Before Talia could say anything else, he stared directly into the camera trained on him.
And a pleasure to all my villainous fans out there, he winked. Stay bad, baby.
Talia looked at him for a long second. Funny you should say that. Weston cocked an eyebrow.
Is this part of the interview?
No, of course not. This is. Some critics in the villain community have questioned the film's portrayal of historical events. How do you respond to this? She looked up from the cards and stared at him, a flicker of mirth in her eyes.
A film has to take some liberties with any history. Some figures are compressed into single characters, some threads of reality's plot have to be,
He made a scissoring motion with his hands.
Clipped?
She didn't even look at the cards. So you're perfectly all right with letting heroes get all the credit for the defeat of Desecrator? Weston laughed.
As I said...
Talia's face hardened. The smile didn't disappear, but there was something other than polite interest behind her features. We heard what you said. We have it on tape. Care to answer the question? Marsh chewed his lower lip, mulling over his response. Finally, he looked up.
The screenwriter, Preston Wallace, a dear friend of mine, went over something like 50 eyewitness testimonies of the day Arbiter saved New York City and came up with the most profound script I've ever read, which, unfortunately, had to cut corners to provide for an adequate running time.
Talia stopped his unbroken response. Of 230 minutes? He laughed nervously.
Yes, the present cut of it is quite long, he shrugged grandly. But what do you expect? It's a historical epic.
An historical epic apparently devoid of history. The sweet look Talia was giving him was made all the more unsettling by the venom in her eyes. It was like eating a chocolate-covered brick of salt.
You haven't even watched the damn film!
He laughed, the pause in the conversation giving him enough time to think.
I think you should withhold judgment until the director and the producers are ready to bring their vision to the world.
He snapped and pointed at the camera again.
July 4th, kids.
What good timing! Talia sighed and looked at her note cards. Why did your good friend leave out the contributions of villains in his script?
Oh, come on!
No, seriously, The heroes are well represented, but notably absent are the over 70 villains who gave their lives in defense of New York City.
There wasn't time.
The hundreds who were injured.
Seriously, Talia?
She leaned forward. Or even those who helped rebuild the damaged sections of the city.
Some things had to be sacrificed.
Marsh was losing his patience. Talia smirked at the hint of weakness.
It's just a movie. There's no conspiracy to make anyone look bad.
I never mentioned a conspiracy. She shrugged. The movie just seems to have an unnecessary and inaccurate love story thrown in for little reason other than to appeal to teenagers. Marsh seemed confused for a moment.
So the love story is superfluous.
Glad you agree. Marsh leaned forward.
I didn't say... He sighed, acknowledging that arguing would be pointless. What's your point?
My point is that your profound screenplay dedicates no less than 30 pages to an imaginary relationship between One-Shot and Arbiter. But... She squinted and pretended to count on her fingers. Not a single page mentions a villain in a positive light. Weston shook his head and scratched absently at his chin.
Ladies like romance, guides like hot chicks.
He looked earnestly at her. Talia laughed hollow and eerie.
Sounds like it should be the tagline of the film.
The air between them thickened with silence.
So are you...
Marsh started. She cut him off.
Rumor has it.
Oh good, there's more.
He muttered as he shifted his weight. That you and Arbiter became very close on the set of the film. Marsh's eyes betrayed the fact that he knew his hand had been caught in the cookie jar.
I wouldn't say close.
Talia cocked her head. And how would you characterize your relationship with the man who is quoted as saying, "Villainkind cannot be trusted to coexist with sane human beings. Their minds are polluted, their histories corrupt, and their actions violent. To accept them as a part of humanity is to accept a gangrenous limb." Marsh looked partially impressed.
You memorized all that?
Talia bared her teeth, less a display to set someone at ease and more to warn them to cover their throat.
Do you wish to respond?
Marsh thought for a moment.
Is there any way to answer this without you getting even angrier with me?
Is Arbiter a friend of yours?
He shook his head.
Well, not exactly.
Is Arbiter one of your consultants?
Talia cocked an eyebrow.
A personal consultant?
I'm playing the guy in a movie, so yes, Arbiter is a good personal consultant of mine.
His eyes went wide for a moment when he realized a way the statement could be construed.
He was for the entire movie, not just me.
Marsh nodded, approving his own story.
He was an eyewitness, wasn't he? He is the guy we owe for actually stopping the Nazi invading our country.
The same guy who is also running for High Council in the Superheroes Guild elections. The same guy who is committed to rolling back the protective clauses. And the same guy who could use a little friendly PR, right? They made eye contact and held it for long, unbroken seconds. Marsh was the first to look away, making a show of removing something from his teeth.
Arbiter was a great help in terms of accuracy and how a great deal of the event went down. That's all. His influence on this fictional...
The emphasis on the word stopped the flow of the sentence.
Story is minimal.
The actor leaned back in the chair.
Outside of that, there was a bit of fear regarding his divisive nature, especially so close to an election.
All right, Talia offered, although her tone wasn't indicating she wanted to let the argument rest. She shrugged, in imitation of Marsh's earlier dismissal. I'm sure your villain fans will appreciate your attention to detail regarding a violent sociopath. Weston half laughed.
I know that it's kind of the in thing to think that neutrals don't care about villains, but we do.
He leaned forward.
You guys are the underdogs. I get it. I really do.
But there's a very real fact that history isn't written by villains because villains... Well, the pause hung in the air for an uncomfortable moment.
Get their asses handed to them?
Marsh watched a self-satisfied smirk spread across Talia's face. He returned the expression.
You could say that.
Talia shuffled through her cards, then dropped them to the floor.
What exactly do you think the villain community's reaction will be when you and your director endorse Arbiter for High Council?
Weston rose to his feet immediately.
This is over.
So it is true,
Talia stood up, the words stopping Weston in his tracks.
This entire movie is propaganda for some washed-up hero.
Hey!
Weston shouted and turned towards her. That man is responsible. My viewers know what he is responsible for and what he stands for.
Who cares? He's not going to win. Your whole balance won't be upset, and you'll still remain the spoiled daughter of a commie supervillain.
It happened so quickly that Marsh barely had time to register that he was falling. His vision went white before going black as his head cracked against the carpeted floor. The ceiling hazily came into view through the tears which were now pumping into his eyes. He felt something hot streaming down his face and knew, mostly from experience, that she had punched him square in the nose. Talia appeared in his line of sight, pointing at him threateningly with her index and middle fingers.
Do not talk about my father!
Her accent had returned. Weston touched his nose and winced. He shook his head and laughed.
Really, Talia?
He slowly got to his feet, hand under his nose in a vain attempt to staunch the blood. My lawyers.
Who'd have thought a bunch of degens would have hated Arbiter?
A tinny recreation of Marsh's voice interrupted him.
The man himself stopped, then looked at the crew which had ebbed back into the darkness during the last moments of the exchange.
I didn't...
Oh, yes you did, Mr. Marsh, came a male voice. And just imagine the kind of storm we could whip up about you when this recording surfaces. Pushing a short frame into the front of the crew, Solomon producer Houston made his appearance. Well-dressed in an expensive white suit and vest combo accented with a pink paisley tie, he carried his authority with a casual air. His well-cropped black hair shined against the near darkness behind him.
You had no right!
Marsh approached Houston threateningly. In response, the shorter man produced a signed copy of the actor's consent form, stopping him instantly.
Yes, I did.
Producer stared at Marsh.
You can take this one if you want. I made copies.
I will get that recording.
If it's the last thing I do, blah, blah, blah.
The executive laughed nasally.
You've been hanging around Arbiter too much.
How about you move along, so this tasteful reminder of your time here... He snapped his fingers at someone hidden in the dark. After some scrambling and an impatient come-here gesture, the recording returned.
Bunch of degens.
Producer bared his teeth and hissed as though he had burned himself.
Remains unheard, he finished.
A smile stretched across his face as he squinted one of his eyes and looked upward as though physically searching his brain for something.
That's short for degenerates, right?
Weston looked at Talia, then at Producer. He threw on a smile, though his eyes betrayed his emotions.
Standard agreement, then? No lawyers for...
He was cut off by the man casually examining his nails.
For no epithets, that's right, Mr. Marsh.
The two stared at each other for a moment.
Would you like a hat or something? Commemorate the occasion and show your commitment to peace and...
Can it? Marsh growled as he turned around towards Talia.
Prosperity, the American way, apple pie, ma, baseball...
Producer muttered half-heartedly. Weston looked into Talia's eyes. She returned the favor, unblinking. He leaned in.
For what it's worth, I'm sorry.
He took a few steps backward, clasped his hands together in a gesture of thanks, then made his way toward the exit.
Get the lights up, people! Good job!
Producer announced, and a moment later the lights rose. Strike this place and let's get back to the station!
I thought you weren't coming, Talia sighed as she walked by him. I never miss a Talia interview if I can.
He laughed and looked around for someone.
Janet, did you see the left hook this time? Producer looked confused for a second. Where's your assistant?
Right here, sir.
Sure enough, James had appeared behind them as they made their way to Talia's chair. Producer looked shocked.
You're not Janet.
I fired Janet Saul,
said Talia matter-of-factly.
When?
Talia took her red trench coat off the back of her chair before she responded.
6 weeks ago.
Huh. James cleared his throat.
You were the one who hired me, actually, sir. Keep an eye on Talia, you know.
Talia and Producer stopped and looked at him with a degree of annoyance.
Paraphrasing. What's your name, kid?
Producer asked. James flicked his name tag. James. Producer waved his hand at him.
Whatever. Don't tell me. You have a shelf life of about a week or so.
He looked back at Talia as James looked one degree more defeated.
No use getting attached, am I right?
I'm glad you enjoyed another opportunity to prevent lawyers from dismantling your precious station.
Talia wheeled toward the exit and headed toward it briskly.
Now, if you'll excuse me, have you been working out? 'Cause I mean one punch and that guy was down.
He turned to James.
Jethro, find me a way to make that my screensaver when we get back to the station.
James quivered and tried to respond for a moment.
That's not really my...
Producer was tailing Talia again, who had begun to pick up speed.
Did you book that interview with Zombrus yet?
Talia shook her head and exhaled loudly as she said,
No. Her office has yet to return a single call.
Her exasperation lay less with the villain politician's lack of response and more with the company that doggedly refused to let her out of their sight.
Just like every other election I've covered up until now.
Tenacity, Jared, Producer said, whacking James on the shoulder.
Take note of it. Just because you fail once doesn't mean you shouldn't keep doing the same thing.
He sighed. James smiled. Like a crazy person. Producer stopped and looked at James, unreadable. The younger man swallowed and shrugged nervously.
Einstein. Definition of doing the same thing? Expecting...
He stammered before trailing off. Producer arched his eyebrows.
Different results, I got it.
But think of this. If Einstein's so smart, why is he dead? He put his index finger on James's head and gave it a gentle prod. He turned back to Talia, only to watch her vanish out the back door. He muttered an expletive, shoved his way through the fire exit, and was almost blinded by the sun. The alley to the right terminated in a 90-degree angle cluttered with a number of large garbage bins. As James blundered through the door behind him, Producer checked to the left. Talia leaned against the brick of the theater, a cigarette smoldering in between her fingers.
Zombrus isn't interested in running, she said.
She kicked off the wall and approached Producer.
I'm not going to waste my time calling a temperamental politician, even if she is the token villain of the Superheroes Guild.
Then have Jermaine do it,
Producer said as he gestured with a thumb to James.
I'm not going to have the dumb kid waste his time.
James laughed at the absurdity of it. I'm right here, guys. Ignoring him, Talia continued.
We all know it's a sham. Let's just let the woman have her privacy.
Producer struck a defiant pose. She may not want to win, but I'm committed to making sure everyone thinks of villains first. He puffed out his chest. I believe in democracy.
Talia stuck her cigarette up in the air. Play the Cold War card, and I'll put this out in your eye.
Solomon Houston, owner of Villain World News, shrugged. Talia was clearly in no mood to argue.
Come on, you gotta believe in something!
Talia raised her eyebrows and gestured with her cigarette.
Oh, that's right. He shook his head. The eternal pessimist.
Realist. Talia corrected, ejecting a geyser of smoke from her nostrils.
Call it what you want, producer said dismissively.
I just don't want you throwing yourself out the traffic copter.
Unseen, Talia rolled her eyes.
Unless you could get exclusive rights to my suicide, of course.
Well, that goes without saying, he said, clamping his hand on her shoulder as he brushed his way past Talia.
You're needed at the station in an hour. You still have an anchor position to do.
She saluted his retreating form before taking another drag off of her cigarette. Talia stared at the ground and kicked at the styrofoam cup. James cleared his throat and she looked up.
Do you need anything?
Talia pursed her lips and took a few steps towards him. She put her hand on his cheek, issuing a shock at her touch.
Do me a favor, will you?
James cleared his throat, then said in a distinctively lower register,
Anything, ma'am?
Her hand was off his cheek now, and gesturing in wide circles to his body.
Clean this. All this. You look like a lumberjack's pet gnome.
James turned a pleasant shade of red.
And knock off this idealism crap. You'll be eaten alive if you're too nice.
She shoved her way past him and disappeared into the theater. James stared at the graffiti-encrusted alley wall opposite him, trying to make sense of what just happened.